Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. There are no accidental events. So why did God give Rebekah twins? The Bible doesn't say. These two boys grew up in a godly home, but they couldn't have been any more different when it came to character. Esau mocked God by marrying three pagan women. After Jacob swindled the birthright from Esau, he was sent to live with his mother's family back east. He eventually wore out his welcome and returned to Canaan with four wives and 13 children. The problem was that Esau still wanted to kill him. Jesus started a series of interactions that saw the two brothers reconciled. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we're glad to have you here today. And we're going to be talking today about two men, Esau and Jacob. So let's do this. Let's stand here in the chapel and pray. And those at your home, if you want to stand up before your television set or computer screens. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that you are going to move today in our lives. That Father God, that you're going to simply do something great. Encourage us. Move us with your Holy Spirit. And give us incentive to pray, to seek your face. Open our hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, minister to us. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 25. That is Genesis chapter 25. And this one took in place thousands of years ago. But people are people. And we are the same today, and this applies to us. Now, the Bible does not say why the God had created Esau and Jacob to be twins. We don't know. As the older brother, Esau should have carried on a bloodline, but he sold his birthright as a young man. Genesis 25, if you pick it up in verse number 29. Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field. He was faint. Sowed pottage means he was boiling a stew. He was making a stew. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray you, with the same red pottage, for I'm faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Now, Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. Now, I want you to think about this. Here is Esau coming in from the field. He'd been gone for some time, haven't eaten. He's worn out, almost to the place he's fainting. And instead of Jacob saying, oh, my brother, let me feed you. Jacob was a conniver. And he simply said this, because Esau was the oldest. He said, I feed you. But sell me your birthright. The birthright was a spiritual gift. He will have the inheritance. So Esau should have simply said, hey, what kind of a brother are you? Are you trying to you should just give it to me. I'm your brother, man. But Esau simply said, behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? Jacob, the conniver, and his name Jacob, being swindler, he said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob for a bowl of soup and some bread. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. He did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now Esau and Jacob had been told by their father Isaac, been told by Abraham that the Redeemer was coming. We have a bloodline that we are going to develop, and God is going to use us. And Esau said, who cares? I'm hungry. Then we turn to Genesis chapter 26. And now we're going to go to verses 34 and 35. And Esau was 40 years old when he took the wife Judith, the daughter of Beriah the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Now Esau knew this, that in the land of Canaan they were pagan worshippers. He had learned about his father Isaac, that he simply had got his wife for the family, the same family, Chaldean family. There was a godly line. And Esau didn't care about his birthright. He didn't care about what God wanted. It was what he wanted. And then if you turn to chapter 28 of Genesis, that's chapter 28, and we pick it up here in verses number 6 and 9, we read this. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence. As he blessed him, gave him in charge, saying, you shall not take a wife of the daughter of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father, and his mother was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughter of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael. That was the bastard son of Abraham that he had with his slave woman that his wife had. So he went to Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. Esau simply did not care. Do you understand that? There's nothing more damaging to your spiritual life of not caring. A lot of people are not appreciating their salvation. We disregard the word of God. And Esau here, he simply went down a road and he just destroyed everything that he possibly could have. So, let me talk to you here about from the outline here. If we go back to Abel, was God's secondary choice for the bloodline. But he was murdered by his brother, and God replaced Abel with Seth, who became a patriarch that in time led to Noah, Shem, Terah, Abraham, and Isaac. Esau and Jacob did not just happen by chance. When they were designed by the God in eternity past, it was decided that these two boys would be twins. So when God did a virtual time run, as he was doing in the future, they made a decision they're going to have twins. So here's an interesting question that I have that is not in the Bible, it's just a question. Is it possible that the God has original plan only called for two tribes to form the nation of Israel? If we have these two tribes, the tribe of Esau, the tribe of Jacob, it would have been less bickering, infighting, but instead, it became the 12 tribes of Israel. Esau willfully made choice of a wrong, and he was removed from the bloodline for his actions. His sinful decision would go on to negatively affect his descendants. Herod the Great was a descendant that was responsible for the murder of baby boys under the age of two in Bethlehem. Flip to Matthew chapter 2. That is Matthew, the second chapter. And we pick it up here for verse number 16. Then Herod, a descendant of Esau, he was also called an Edomian. He was not a Jew. He was not of the 12 tribes. He was of the tribe of Esau. Then Herod, when he saw he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, why did Herod do that? Because he felt a Messiah, a king, has been born. He might take my throne. I got to protect my throne. I don't care if I kill a couple of thousand baby boys to protect my throne. The same spirit was on Esau, was now on King Herod. And then we go to the book of Acts, chapter 12. That is the book of Acts. And we're going to go to the 12th chapter, book of Acts, chapter 12. I'm going to pick it up here in verse number 1. Now about the time Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain other church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. So, this now is the grandson. This is Herod Agrippa, descendant of Esau. Now he's going after the church. He had Peter in prison, and God sent an angel because people were praying. I want to read a couple of verses here. And when he had apprehended, this is verse number 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison to leave the 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Notice now, everything was going fine until James was taken, arrested, beheaded the same day. James only lived probably about 3 or 4 months after the day of Pentecost. Think about this. All the work that Jesus put into James, he never used it. He was killed. Peter was next. Now, there was a need. In my mini sermon I had before, I pointed out the need. The church said, wow, James is dead. Peter's in the clink. They got soldiers. He's chained to the soldiers. We can't lose Peter. So they stayed up all night and they prayed. Prayer was made without ceasing. You see that? What happened? An angel came, and the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and the chains fell off from his hands. Supernaturally, chains fell off. The angel said to him, gird yourself, bind on your sandals, and so he did. And he said to him, cast your garment about you and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Whenever passed the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leads unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And went out and passed on through the street, and forward the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectancy of the people of the Jews. So now Peter was saved, because the church was praying. Last year, I was praying here in the pulpit against the Supreme Court Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I prayed many times. I said, God, this woman is evil. She has performed homosexual marriages. She wrote it in abortions. I said, God, if that woman cannot be saved, if you know that she's not going to be saved, take her out. Take her out. Well, praise God. You know, she was going to the gym. She was defiant. And she said, you know, I'm going to stay long. I'm going to outlast Trump. I'm going to make it past Trump. And God said, no, you ain't. And she dropped. We prayed her out. I think it's time for us to pray for Joe Biden. He needs prayer. I think we need to pray for Kamala Harris. She needs prayer too. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. All 9 yards. They need prayer. God, save them or remove them. Is God in the business of doing that? Absolutely. Go to verse number 20 here in the same chapter. Chapter 12 of Acts. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came one accord to him, having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because the country was nourished by the king's country, money. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon a throne and made an oration unto them. We had this speech. And the people gave a shout, saying, it's the voice of a God and not of a man. Mark verse 23. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. He was eaten up by worms and gave up the ghost. He died on the spot. But the word of God grew and multiplied. These were descendants of Esau. Going back now to Genesis chapter 31. So God is working here now, and he realized that Esau, God knew that before he was born, that he was not going to turn out good. And in Genesis chapter 31, and the story now is that Jacob was sent away by his mother to her family, because he didn't want Esau to kill him. He's been over there, got married to four women, had children. And in Genesis chapter 31 and verse number 13, God is simply speaking to Jacob. And he said this, I'm the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, and where you vowed a vow to me. Now rise, get you out from this land, and return to the land of your kindred. We're looking at the virtual time run here as we work ourselves backwards. So this is happening now in a virtual computer prior to the foundation of the world. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit were sitting there and designing all things. And I realized this, we got to move Jacob back to the land of Canaan. And then in chapter 32, and the first two verses, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Jacob's faith was not that strong. So God had to speak to him, go back home. When he began to prepare, God sent angels. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name on that place, Mahanaim. If we would have seen that today, we would have said these are aliens. Yeah, there are aliens. We got good angels, we got bad angels, and we got demons. They are not humans. They come from outside. God made them. So now, Jacob simply knows this. I have to go home. Now, Jacob did not really trust God. And Jacob sent messages before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Esau had moved out of Canaan's land. He was living down by Edom, which is between what is today Jordan, and south of Israel. And Jacob now simply felt this. Yeah, God spoke to me. I'm going to go back. I saw the angels. Yeah, that's good. But they don't know Esau. He got a sword. I got to bribe him. And if you look here from verse 4 and on down here, he said this in verse number 4. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. He called him Lord now. Your servant Jacob said thus, I have sojourned with Laban, stayed there unto now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I might find grace in your sight. That's a different tone. When he came in from the field, he told Esau, some of your birthright, that there's no food. And now he's saying, my lord, I hope I find grace in your sight. And the messenger returned to Jacob, saying, we came to your brother Esau, and also he comes to meet you, and 400 men with him. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and camels unto two bands, and said, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. He was simply saying this, I'm going to divide it up. We might have a loss here, but at least I'm not going to lose everything. He was conniving. There's a lot of Jacobs today that are conniving, trying to bargain with God, bargain with people. And if you read it here in the rest of this chapter here, he sent all kind of gifts, one group after another group. He was trying to buy Esau. If we turn now to chapter 33, we will find the reconciliation. Chapter 33. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. He divided the children unto Leah, to Rachel, unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and the children foremost, Leah and the children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. You talk about a snake. Can you see Jacob here? Bowing 7 times to make sure. I mean, Esau must have simply said, you know, this guy's a jerk. He doesn't really love me. But they were brothers. Something happened between them. And Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. They simply met, and they realized they were brothers. They loved each other. And I believe that the love of God was put into both of their hearts, because before they hated each other. And so we had a reconciliation. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw the women and children, and said, who are those with you? And he said, the children which God has graciously given your servants. Then the handmaiden came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And Esau said, what meanest you by all this drove that I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that you have unto yourself. So now we had a reconciliation. And that's a wonderful thing, that it stopped here. They became friends, two brothers. But Esau never got a reconciliation with God. Turn to Romans chapter 9. That is Romans, the 9th chapter. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 13. Romans 9:13. As is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's a sad story. We turn to Hebrews chapter 12 now. That's Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We're going to pick it up in verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat or bowl of soup sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he had inherited a blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. This could be a sad day for many of us when we are going on the other side of eternity. And we stand before, we're not going to be there if you're saved, but you're going to be watching at the great white throne judgment. And I know this, I have relatives that I witnessed to, they are dead and they rejected it. And you're going to stand at that great white throne judgment. You're going to see sisters. You're going to see brothers. You're going to see parents, aunts and uncles, people you knew on this earth. And they're going to stand there in their shameful, resurrected bodies. And they're going to put their heads down. And they're going to be judged. And for a few fleeting moments, you might have reconciled with them on earth. Just like Esau and Jacob. But here is a separation. Jacob is in heaven. Esau is in hell. They did reconcile before they died. Became good friends. But Esau had made his choice. That's why it is so important. Because you see the statement there, you're the sum total of your decisions. The decision you make in life will determine where you're going to go, what's going to happen to other people. I made a decision many years ago. I came back to Christ. In my mid-20s. And I'm glad I made that decision. I never had a nice boat. I never had all the toys that people have. I never was going to Hawaii or the Bahamas or some other place. Didn't have the money. A lot of my friends, people I knew in the past, did. But they were not saved. Now, many of them are dead. Some are in the hospital. Some of them are hanging on there. And I'm looking back. I made a decision. That decision changed my life. My decision changed other people's decision because I led many people to Christ. I have been influencing people for Jesus for many years. The question is, how about you? If you look upon Jacob or Esau, where do you stand? Do you have people in your vicinity that are not saved? People that are backslidden? Do you have compassion on them? Do you really pray for them? Or are you mad at them and say, you know, they deserve the garbage they got? Think if Jesus would have said it about you and me. We deserve what we have. If he would have walked away from us, it would have been terrible. You know, we were not good people when Jesus found us. We were rebels, filthy, dirty, smelling. And Jesus loved us, saved us, cleaned us, walked with us, blessed us. And we're looking around at others, do we have compassion? This is the time to really have compassion on people. Look at my summary here, what I said. The decision you make will determine your future on earth, as well as your destination after death. What kind of decision have you made? Are you happy with your choices? In 2007, I was in the state of New York, and I spent a week there with a family that asked me to come to do deliverance on them. And I knew the lady from having been in California prior. And I remember, after it'd been 2-3 days, we're sitting there for the breakfast to dinner, and Eric Sims, simply, that was a name, Eric and Patty Sims. And Eric told me, he said, you know, we're getting your sermons on, at those times it was a CD. But he said, have you ever thought about a webcast? I said, what is a webcast? He said, as you know, when you got cameras in there, you know, you can use the internet and you can send it out on the internet. I thought about it. I said, no, I've never thought about that. So immediately I thought, that costs money. It's more work. You know, I'm comfortable with what I'm doing. So I got back to California, thinking about it, had a talk with Charles. I said, what do you think about webcasting? Well, I said, can you investigate that? So he did. And I got a bid come in and says, oh, we could probably do that for about maybe $5,000-$6,000. I said, go look in more. Well, he got up a little bit higher. Eventually, we were up to $40,000. I made a decision. I did not have the $40,000. God brought in through people. Some people give $10,000. Some people get $1,000. Some people get $10. But we got up to about $32,000. And then I simply said, what do I do? Okay, God, it looked like a stop here. I had a choice now. So I said, we got a credit card. Well, people say, you know, you shouldn't use credit cards. There's interest on them. That's right, there's interest on them. But I made a choice then. I could do this. I could simply use the credit card to get me over the top. We get the equipment. We get webcasting. And we will go out into any place in the world. Which we did. Now, we paid off that credit card a long time ago. And we paid some interest on it. But if I paid some interest on it and so on, and we got 5 people saved or 2 people saved, how much is a soul worth? There are times when you got to make decisions. It might not be your choice, but you make a decision. If I do this, will that reach somebody? And you go for it. Someone will ask you this as you come to a close today. What does God want you to do? As we see our nation being dismantled, things are coming apart. We're slowly moving into the world federation. What has God spoken to you to do? Has he spoken to you about somebody? How about a brother, a sister that you have that is not saved or backslidden? What about the relative, people that live near you, people you work with? Are you having a plan to pray for them, to witness to them, to try to persuade them to come to Christ? There will come a day when you will be on the other side. All of us in this room, give it 50 years, just about all of us in this room will be on the other side. Make it 75, got some children here. And on the other side, what are we going to value? We're going to value those that we brought with us into the kingdom. So the question is, what kind of decision are you going to make? Jacob made a lot of mistakes. He was a liar. He was a cheat. He was cheap. And he really was a terrible guy. But it's one thing he had for him. He repented. He stayed with God. And that saved his rotten soul. Esau was actually a nicer guy than Jacob. But Esau despised his calling from God. We can either be a Jacob, we have failed in life, and we say, Lord, I'm a terrible person, but I love you. He will save us and change us. We can be like Esau saying, you know, I've done pretty good. I've done what's right. I don't need God. That's a choice that we got to make. If you've been listening to me today, and you're saying to me right now that I'm not saved, I'm not even in, the good news is you can be saved today. Today, right now. All you have to do is to simply say this, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose on the third day. And right now, Jesus, come on in and save me. And he will. When we finish after our finishing prayer, you're going to see the screen change where you are. Three crosses will come up. And you would hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell saying, my friend, he will take you step by step and lead you and then pray with you to make sure that you get saved today. When you do that, call us, write us. We like to encourage you and pray with you. Many of you that are watching us, you're walking close with Jesus. You made a decision a long time ago. You're not backslidden. And you're right where you should be. God bless you. Pray for those others that are struggling. And if you feel that you are not where you should be, make a change. You have the opportunity to make a change. You can say, God, I am not happy where I'm at today. I want to change. I want to come closer. I want to learn more. I want to pray more. I want to rededicate my life. And God will hear you. God will take you by your hands. And he will guide you and lead you into where he wants you. May God bless you as you make that decision today for Christ and for yourself. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, we thank you for the word, Lord. We never get tired of the word of God. And this story on these two brothers, Lord. And each made their own decisions to go their way. And truly the Bible is true. when it says that many are called but few are chosen. So we thank you for keeping each one of us that is here today, that is tuned in or will tune in the future, to stay the course, Lord. And it's very important, because we saw how Esau, he sought repentance, but it was not available for him. So that's a very, very heavy word right there. So we thank you, Father God, for helping each and every person to protect their calling and to not to disregard it as Esau did. We thank you once again for the Word of God. It truly is a light unto our path, Lord. And John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It doesn't get much better than that. I also want to pray for the situation politically in the United States of America and around the world. It is a global operation that we're witnessing. I thank you, Father, for taking out those wicked players and send them off into eternity, Lord, in short order. I thank you for making that happen. I thank you that the fear of God will dawn on that wicked city, Washington, D.C., and London, and the Vatican. I thank you for the future that we get to behold, Lord. And I believe we're going to be around to see those two witnesses in Jerusalem. I'm looking forward to that. They're going to keep crying out. That is a bright spot. Help each one of us to stay focused on eternity, not the present, but on eternity, where eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor either have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So we thank you for that. Thank you for our many blessings, Lord. You have provided work for us. You have provided finances for us, Lord. We thank you for that. And we know that we don't live in the world economy. We live in God's economy. The world has their economy and it's going to fail. But God's economy never fails. Thank you for that. Thank you for blessing us the way that you have. Thank you that we have eyes to see the future and where we're going, and help us each one to keep our eye on the prize. Thank you for all things. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for sinners, who paid the price for sin, who rent the veil of the temple. And we're just blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 10th part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled,
double trouble. The birth of Esau and Jacob is the first record of twins in the Bible. We know everything happens for a purpose, but we don't know why God gave Rebekah twins. These two boys grew up in a godly home, but they couldn't have been any more different when it came to character. Esau mocked God by marrying two Hittite women and the daughter of his uncle Ishmael. After Jacob swindled the birthright from Esau, he was sent to live with his mother's family back east. He eventually wore out his welcome and returned to Canaan with 4 wives and 13 children. The problem was that Esau still wanted to kill him. Jesus started a series of interactions that saw the two brothers reconciled, but there was no reconciliation for Esau with God. Esau moved to the land of Edom, leaving Canaan solely to Jacob. These two twins both made poor choices, but Jacob never surrendered his belief in God. The takeaway in all this is that the decisions you make on earth will determine your future on earth and beyond. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1798. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.